In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts.
At 34, sold American.
Let that chant remind you that Lucky's are a milder, better tasting cigarette. Because at market after market, we pay the price to get the finer, the lighter, the naturally milder tobacco. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. That's why, with men who know tobacco best, it's Lucky's 2-to-1. Lucky Strike presents Kay Kaiser's College of Musical Knowledge with a high helping of Hollywood Hullabaloo, $95 in prizes, and the mighty, flighty old blighter himself, Kay Kaiser.
Evening, folks. Hi-yo. Well, class night comes to town and scholars come to class, all ready to take those exam hurdles with fun and fame along the way and high finance at the finish.
Pardon me, Professor, but before class, one of the students asked me if it would be all right to give you an apple.
An apple? Why, certainly, Dean Heaston. Let the little fella come forward.
Here it is, teacher, but you'll have to bob for it.
A fine way to start class, children. But while we mop up around here, what say to a bit of required bobbing? Do the big apple and yes, dance.
Sing hallelujah.
Of Dover.
Ah, that was beautiful, Harry Babbitt. Harry Babbitt singing our latest recording, The White Cliffs of Dover. And now, Dean Heaston, who isn't a betting man, is willing to bet there's one question you'd ask if you met a real tobacco expert face to face.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think your question would go like this. What's really the buy in cigarettes? And you know, the way lots of independent tobacco experts might answer that question would be by just taking out a package of Luckies and offering you one. For these independent experts, men who spend their lives buying, selling, and handling tobacco, smoke Luckies by an overwhelming majority. As one of them, Mr. Andrew Wright, independent tobacco buyer of Kernersville, North Carolina, said recently,
I've smoked Luckies for 13 years because I know Lucky Strike pays the price to get the finer, milder tobacco at auction after auction.
Smokers, make no mistake. Tobacco experts are cigarette experts as well. For as you know, in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And at auctions all over the South, experts like Mr. Wright see who buys what tobacco. Yes, they know that Lucky Strike means fine tobacco because they see us pay the price to get the milder, better-tasting leaf. That's why with these experts, with men who know tobacco best, it's Lucky's 2-to-1. Why not make your next package Lucky Strike and see if you don't agree with the experts?
Are you from the Key? Are you from the Key?
I'm from Salinas, Kansas. What'd I do?
Nope, you gotta be from Dixie. Are you from Dixie?
Say there, I'm from the Brawl on a Rillaraw. Well, I doodly do 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 do.
Nope, you gotta be from Dixie. How about you, little girl?
I'm not from Dixie, but I know somebody who is.
Well, quick, who is it?
His initials are KK.
Kris Kringle?
No, K. Kaiser. And is he from Dixie? Wow.
Well, I don't know exactly how to take that, but our first exam tees off with our three fragile freshmen. Now, step up, Mr. John McLarney, a salesman of Los Angeles. Now, Mr. McLarney, no Blarney, in this one from Albert Calkins of Peoria, Illinois, we delve into the private letters of Private Joe Jeep. Now, he writes home, Dear Mom, it's okay being a soldier. We get lots of food, lots of exercise, and I never have any trouble sleeping. And I never have any trouble sleeping from what time until what time? From da-da-da. From, no, da-da-da.
From taps to reveille.
From taps to reveille, yes, sir. He says, of course, I don't need to tell you, Mom, how I could sleep on and on and on because, well, you've heard me say all my life.
Like to murder a bugler.
No. I like to murder a bugler. No.
I hate to get up in the morning.
Oh, yes, Irving Berlin song. Oh, how I hate to get up in the morning. But there's nothing doing on that score here in the camp, Mom. You know, when that bugle plays first call, well, I just turn over and get all comfy and get ready for that extra 5-minute snooze. But the sergeant shakes my bed and says, nothing doing, buddy.
You're in the Army now.
Yes, sir. Get up from there, boy. You're in the Army now. That's fine, fine. All right. Now, here's Mr. George Friedman, a grocer of Los Angeles. Say, Mr. Friedman, Miss Irene Lapinto of New Orleans wants you to tell us what two movie and radio comedians have been in the Army, Navy, and the Air Corps in 1 year.
James Stewart.
Oh, no. I mean in the movies.
Abbott and Costello.
Abbott and Costello, that's exactly right. And in the movies, one well-known tap dancer spent most all of his time in the Army jail in the picture You'll Never Get Rich. With Rita Hayworth.
Fred Astaire.
Oh, Fred Astaire. Not in jail with Rita Hayworth, but it actually...
It's an idea.
I beg your pardon?
It's an idea.
Quiet, please. Say, Mr. Friedman, you know your groceries, don't you, boy? You sell them. Fine,
yeah.
All right. Say, Mr. Friedman, what well-known leading man spent time on the farm and on the front in Sergeant York?
Gary Cooper.
Very good. The young man knows all about these things. Yes, sir, Mr. John Glenn is an aircraft worker of Hollywood. All right, Mr. Glenn. Now, here's a well-known song that's used as a theme of a well-known band. And Jesse Brown of San Francisco wants you to listen and name both the song and the band. What do you think, Mr. Glenn?
Sometimes I love you, sometimes I hate you.
Well, are you speaking to me? Oh, so the song is Sometimes I'm
Happy.
Yeah, Sometimes I'm Happy. Now, whose theme is that? His initials are BB, and I don't mean Ben Burney. And I don't mean Bunny Berrigan. And I don't mean Bobby Byrne. And I don't mean Bonnie Baker. Ben. Students! It's Blue Baron's theme. Is Baron Munchausen his dad?
No.
I beg your pardon?
No.
Well, to be sure, that's right. Thank you, Mr. Glenn. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Here's Mr. John McLaughlin again. All right, Mr. McLaughlin. Now, Miss Delilah Simmons of San Francisco is sure you want a dumbbell, so she wants you to tell us why you can't ring a dumbbell. Why can't you ring a dumbbell? You can ring a school
athletic
bell.
Equipment.
I beg your pardon? It's
athletic equipment.
Yes, it's those two big things with the little slim, the rod between. You pick it up, 10 times up and down. That's it. Why can't you blow a shoehorn? Why can't you blow a shoehorn? You can't ring a dumbbell and you can't blow a shoehorn.
A shoehorn is something you use in putting on slippers or shoes.
Yes, that's fine. You use it at the heel, is that right?
That's right.
What are you looking at me for? Thank you very much. And why can't you strum a shillelagh?
Shillelagh is a club.
Yes, it's a walking stick used primarily by the Irish, I believe. And a ukulele you could strum with a shillelagh. Oh, you got it straight. What do you explain? Am I explaining to you for? You explained it to me. Thank you. Yes, Mr. George Friedman. Say, Mr. Friedman, we've taken the number one and two and three songs on your hit parade of last Saturday, and we've scrambled them all up. Now, Harold Skiles of Lincoln, Nebraska wants you to listen, name two of the three songs, and tell us which you think was number one last Saturday. Listen. He knows his song.
Tonight We Love.
Tonight We Love.
Chattanooga Choo Choo.
Chattanooga Choo Choo.
And Elmer's Tune.
Oh, yes. Tonight we sang Elmer's Tune on the Chattanooga Choo Choo. That's right. Which of those three do you think was number one last Saturday?
Tonight We Love.
Boy, that's right. Tonight We Love was number one. Listen, that boy rattled off those answers. Now, Mr. John Glenn, aircraft worker of Hollywood. Say, Mr. Glenn, I'm sure you're familiar with the hometowns of some well-known athletes. So, Miss Helen Gruber of Philadelphia wants you to tell us what champion slugger I'm referring to if I would say Joe San Francisco. And I don't mean Joe Frisco. Joe San Francisco, a champion slugger. He runs a restaurant in San Francisco. Of course, he was really born in Martinez, California. Student!
DiMaggio.
Well, I'm afraid the bell beat you, Mr. Glenn. Now, let's try it again. And here's an athlete, a fellow that swings a mean club, Bobby Atlanta. Shh, Bobby Atlanta. Boy, you'll be in the rough if you don't get that. Now, tee off, pal. Don't be
Bobby.
Green. What? Bobby who?
Jones.
Oh, well, yeah. Bobby Jones, that's fine. And here's a fellow that slings a mean glove, Joe Detroit.
Lewis.
Joe Lewis, born in Lexington, Alabama. And this one throws a mean bull, Sidney Brooklyn. A real bullfighter from Brooklyn. He slings the bull. I mean, he fights the bull. Sidney Brooklyn. Leading the Lynn. Oh, it's Franklin. Sidney Franklin. Well, that's not bad. Let's give him a nice hand there. That wasn't too easy, and he did a fine job with it. Now, Mr. John McLaughlin. Mr. McLaughlin, I'm sure we all enjoy the newsreels. And Joe McCafferty of New York City believes from the following theme, you should be able to tell us which of the newsreels is now being shown. Now, listen. Oh, Oh, yes, now, that's fine. Would you say that was Fox Movie Tone, Paramount, Pathé News, Hearst Movie Tone, or Paramount, Students?
Yeah.
Or Paramount. Yes, that's fine. That was Paramount. Say, what two radio stars hit the road to Zanzibar for Paramount? They built a road to Zanzibar. For Paramount. Two radio comedians were in the picture together.
Bing Crosby and Bob Hope.
Oh, no, that's it.
Bing Crosby and Bob Hope.
Well, that's exactly right. Thank you very much. Now, here's Mr. George Friedman again. Say, all right, Mr. Friedman, I can see in it in your eyes that you're good at imitations. And so, Marin or Marvin McDaniel of Portland, Maine, would like for you to take a crack at imitating Leo the Lion, the Shadow, and Mrs. Aldrich. Leo the Lion, how...
No.
Yeah. That's a little on the moose side, but that's a nice try. All right, fine. What about the Shadow? You've heard the Shadow on the radio. What kind of a laugh? Yeah. He's just still mooing with a little more vibrato. Now, Mrs. Aldrich, don't tell me that's...
Henry Aldrich!
He's a good sport to even sign. Nice going, Mr. Friedman. And now, Mr. John Glenn. You know, Mr. Glenn, the curtain's just about drawn on intercollegiate football for this season, so let's put the spotlight on some of the conference winners. Now, Mrs. Edward Walsh of St. Paul says that in the Big Ten, it was... In the Big Seven, rather, it was Utah. In the Big Six, it was Missouri. In the Southeastern, it was Mississippi State. In the Southwestern, Texas A&M. And in the Big Ten, or the Big Nine, it was...
Minnesota
is right. Now, wait a minute. That's nice going. Minnesota. Mr. Glenn, what's the difference between a touchdown and a touch?
Well, a touchdown is a score in a football game, and a touch is when you make a loan, borrow something from your friend.
Yes, when they put the bite on you. Yes,
right.
Put the B on you. Well, yes, sir. He certainly knows a lot about both of those points.
Hey, Professor, the bell doth toll. Throw him back in the hole.
There. And our learned faculty will name a winner now before you can say...
Wrap your packages securely and mail early to help Uncle Sam's mail carrier.
Well, thank you, East. That's quite a good thought. And thank you, faculty. The winner of the first exam is... Contestant number two with a perfect score, Mr. George Friedman, the grocery man from Los Angeles. With a perfect score, George Friedman. Ah, yes, my dear Mr. Friedman, you sell groceries, and I reiterate, you know your groceries. Congratulations and Christmas spirit are yours for the asking, my dear Mr. Friedman. So go, revel in your curriculum, and wait for the finals. Right now, students, light up a lucky strike because it's recess.
We'll shout when it hits you, yes indeed.
Yes, you will shout when it hits you, yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, you'll shout when it hits you, yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
Now, when that spirit moves you, you're going to shout hallelujah. When it hits you, you're going to holler, yes, indeed, yes, indeed.
Now listen here, brothers and sisters. We're going to take up that big collection now. And I don't want to see nobody getting up here and starting out. Just come on by here and drop it right away in that box.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. When it hits you, you're going to holler. Yes, indeed, you're going to holler. Yes, indeed.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Knox Manning reenacting a tobacco auction in Dillon, South Carolina. Literally, tobacco's everywhere in this huge warehouse, piled in hundreds of baskets. And every one of these baskets of tobacco is sold individually, you know, sold to the highest bidder. Listen to the excitement.
Get it up there!
All right.
That was a sale to the well-known independent tobacco buyer, Andrew Wright. And now they're starting on another row of baskets. The warehouseman's about to open the bidding on the first pile of fragrant tobacco.
Starter at 31.
At 31.
31 it is. $31 a 100 pounds. But that's only the beginning, folks. An export company has already raised it to 32. 32. And now Lucky Strike bids 33. Another cigarette company, 34.
35.
A leaf company, 35. These buyers know what they want, and this tobacco is it. 37 is the bid now, made by that export company. And a leaf company buyer raises it to 38. But Lucky Strike tops that with a bid of $39. And yes, it's going to Lucky's at 39.
$39 sold, American.
Ladies and gentlemen, next time you buy cigarettes, remember how tobacco is sold at the auctions where the finer leaf is bid up and up. And you have proof that Lucky Strike pays the price to get this milder, better-tasting tobacco. For example, here's the final report on the season's total sales in Dillon, South Carolina. The American Tobacco Company paid 36% more per pound for the tobacco it bought there for its cigarettes and other tobacco products. Yes, 36% above the average market price published by the United States Department of Agriculture. And the best tobacco we buy goes into Lucky's. That's why Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And, as you know, in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. Why not make your next package Lucky Strike and prove to yourself that better tobacco makes a better cigarette?
We met in Orange Blossom Lane.
For a moment in Orange Blossom Lane with a lovely lassie whose name is Dorothy Dunn. Dorothy?
When I kissed you in Orange Blossom Lane, I could hear this heart of mine sing a refrain. I remember it was time. time to say goodbye, and our song became a sigh. Where are the blossoms that hung on the bough? Where are the love songs, and where are you now? I'll be waiting till you come back again, just to kiss you in orange blossom.
And now, time out while we change classes in the College of Musical Knowledge. We wish to thank the sponsor of this program for relinquishing his time in order that you might hear the latest news from the NBC newsroom. While the West Coast prepares for any eventuality, the sale of oil lamps, flashlights, and candles yields a bumper crop of profits to storekeepers as the people all along the Pacific coast of these United States go all out on the alert. At this moment, Washington State Police are spreading nets for alleged fifth columnists accused of touching off signal fires near Port Angeles. It's said that the fires might have been set to guide enemy aircraft coming in to attack Seattle in the Puget Sound area. The signal fires, as discovered, are reported to have been burning in the shape of an arrow pointing toward Seattle as the target. From coast to coast, Americans are remembering that their slogan in 98 was, "Remember the Maine." And from the Atlantic to the Pacific tonight, the slogan for 1941 is promising to become, "Remember Pearl Harbor." Taking up those three words, advanced by the OPM in all press releases, people are repeating them on the streets. Meanwhile, far across the world, Batavia in the Netherlands, East Indies, has gone through its second air raid alarm of the war, according to an Associated Press dispatch. In the Far West, International News Service gives the first word about the possibility of new danger on the Pacific coast, this time in Mexico-owned Lower California. It's said that the FBI, working hand-in-hand with the Mexican government, is checking unconfirmed reports that armed bands of Japanese are gathering in Lower California. FBI agent Harold Nathan in San Diego has told International News Service that so many reports on the matter have come in that he feels a checkup is necessary. This news came to you from the NBC newsroom. Second exam comes to Kaiser College like Mary to Christmas.
Hiya, Mary.
Hiya, Chris.
Boy, that was a killer, wasn't it? Say, and now we're ready for our three little dollies in Holly to answer up, by golly. Our first contestant is Miss Louise Longshee. Longshee? Longshee? Longshy. Is it an I-R-E or... Longshy, a secretary of Kansas City, Missouri, and I've been noticing you all evening, Miss Longshy, and you sure are shy, but that won't be for long. Say, Miss Long, now get a little closer to the microphone. Don't be frightened now. I want the folks in Kansas City to hear you tonight. This one from Private Ralph Davidson of Ordnance Training Center, Maryland, tells of a cop who was strolling through the park one night, and he saw a couple of lovebirds over on a bench, arm in arm and cheek to cheek, staring into space. He went over and he said, all right, break it up, break it up. They said, nothing doing. We're building. Oh, you're so proud. frightened, I know. They said, we're building what now? I'm building a thing. They were building a ladder to heaven or a stairway to the clouds or a little ladder. Now, come up close, Miss Longshaw. I know you know that. Say it now. Say
stairway
it again.
Stairway to the stars.
Oh, isn't that cute? She said it. She scared herself, I declare. Would you bring the straight jacket, please? I want to keep Miss Longshaw up here at the mic. Oh, she's scared to death. Stand right up. No, this is all in fun now. Miss Longshaw, that's right. They said we were building a stairway to the stars. Oh, the cop put his hands on his hips and said, a stairway to the stars, huh? Well, you look like a... Wait a minute. You look like...
Crazy people.
Crazy people. They said, no, sir, no, we're not. Anything is possible. You got it, Miss Long? Anything is possible. When you find us... When you... Students! When you wish upon a star. Well, that's too bad, Miss Long. See, I'm sure you knew those things, but you just couldn't quite... get up enough nerve to speak up. But maybe on her next question, she'll have more nerve. Now, Miss Evelyn Gibe or Gibe?
Gibe.
Miss Evelyn Gibe, a secretary of Los Angeles. Now, Miss Gibe, Gibe. Thank you. Now, Miss Gob, Miss Gibe. Say, Evelyn. If you're in a rut, you'll think we're nutty because Miss Marie Hewitt of Indianapolis wants you to distinguish between Hutsut, Putt-Putt, King Tut, and Richard Hudnut. What's Hutsut?
A song.
A song. And a Putt-Putt. What's a Putt-Putt?
A little machine that goes along like a bicycle.
Goes along like a bicycle, or an even rude outboard motor is called a putt-putt, too. What about King Tut?
It was an Egyptian king.
Yes, King Tutankhamun. Anyway, King Tut. Richard Hudnut.
Richard Cosmetics.
Hudnut. Cosmetics, that's right. Richard Hudnut is a form of, as a make of cosmetics.
Hey, you're so smart. What's the difference between a and a...
I don't know, Ish. What is the difference between a and a... Well, here we go, Miss Margaret Barry, a hairdresser of Pasadena. All right. Say, now, Miss Barry, a certain orchestra leader made a very famous record of a certain song which we are about to play. Now, George Devine of Detroit wants you to name it and the band leader. Listen. Hold it. Miss Barry is hip. She's in the groove. She knows it. What'd you say?
The Chattanooga Chuga.
Chattanooga Chuga.
And Glenn Miller made it.
Glenn Miller, that's fine. What's the name of the picture he appeared in with Sonia Haney?
Sun Valley Serenade.
Sun Valley Serenade with Sonia Haney, and he's now at the Pennsylvania Hotel in New York City. Now, Miss Louise Longshot. Well, here's our little nervous one again. Miss Longshot, now here come the what-whats. Carolyn Carlson of Phoenix, Arizona, wants you to take out the what's in the following song titles and give us their correct titles. For instance, what's this song? What, oh, what, my little what? What, oh, what, had my... Was it?
Where, has my...
A little louder. That's it. Speak up.
Where, oh, where has my little dog gone?
That's right. Second, what's this song? To what we what? To what we what?
I don't know.
To what we want. Da-da-da. Da-da. Students! Tonight We Love. Now, watch this one. What's this title? What, telecourse? What, water? What, telecourse? What, water? Yeesh. Can't you stutter that out for us, sir?
I don't think I can.
Well, it's you, telecourse. I stutter. I can't even say it myself. Well, that's the way it goes anyway. Thank you, Miss Longshot. Now, Miss Evelyn Gibb, here's your second question. Here's the theme of one of radio's top-notch Sunday shows, and Norman Smith of Ogden, Utah wants you to tell us what program it is.
Manhattan Merry-Go-Round.
Whoa, hold it, boy. She's got it. What'd you say?
Manhattan Merry-Go-Round.
The Manhattan Merry-Go-Round is right. Say, what's another name for a merry-go-round? What's another name for a merry-go-round? You don't carouse around, do you? Do you carouse around? Carousel. Or carousel, or carousel, you see? Now, what does it mean to say that that fellow's on the merry-go-round? What does it mean if you say somebody's on the merry-go-round?
He's in love?
Well, yes. Yes, that could be. Could be. Yes, sir, could be. Now, here's Miss Margaret Barry again, the hairdresser. Say, Miss Barry, is tonight's right or wrongless, and Miss Grace Harmon of Louisville wants you to just say right or wrong to these statements. Right or wrong. Old aluminum is from Tin Pan Alley.
Wrong.
A little louder.
Wrong.
You're right, that's wrong. Thank you, Miss Barry. Vincent Lopez is a student of the stars. Right or wrong. Vincent Lopez, orchestra leader Lopez.
Wrong.
You are wrong. That one is a right. Third, Andre Castellanets is said to be America's number one air passenger. Right or wrong?
Wrong.
You are wrong. That is a right. Fourth, Judy Garland is married to Billy Rose.
Wrong.
You are right. That's wrong. It's Davy Rose. Thank you for... All right. Now, Miss Louise... Oh, yes, yes. One more time, then you won't have any more of this ordeal, Miss Longshot. Just suffer through this one with me. Mrs. John Wyatt. Boy, you ought to be ashamed because you know all these answers and you just won't speak up now. You're going to do better this time, aren't you? See, she won't even... Fine. Say, Miss Longshot, Mrs. John Wyatt of Fort Worth, Texas, wants us to ask you this question. Do you know what the desert sang to the cactus plant? Well... To the cactus plant, the desert sang. What did the desert sing to the cactus plant?
Nobody knows how dry I am.
Nobody knows how dry I am. She says, and I am. Oh, I stay here. Whoa. Now, say, do you know what one mouse in the cash register said to the other mouse in the cash register? Well, he said... Well, now, the one mouse in the cash register said to the other mouse in the cash register, we're in...
Well, in the money.
A little louder.
We're in the money.
We're in the money, yes. Thank you very much. Yes, sir. We're visiting Mr. Morgenthau. Now, here's Miss Evelyn Geib. Say, Miss, is it Geib or Geib?
Geib.
Geib, that's right. Now, Miss Geib, here's where we're going to have a little fun. At the request of James Combs of Mount Airy, North Carolina, we want you to try your hand at Sing a Spell. You know our little game, Sing a Spell. Now, first, Sully Mason and I will give you an idea of how it goes, and then afterwards, well, you'll try your hand. Now, listen closely. Here's the way it goes. All right, here we go. Spell boy. B-O-Y, spell toy. T-O-Y, B-O-Y, boy, T-O-Y, toy. Ain't it swell to sing a spell? Spell bow. B-O-W, spell wow. W-O-W, B-O-W, bow, W-O-W, wow. Ain't it swell to sing
right,
a
now,
spell?
All right, now that's the way it goes. Let's you and I try it. Now concentrate, ready?
Spell eel. Now, wait a minute. You have to spell it right after I do. E-E-L. All right, ready? Here we go. Wait a minute. Spell eel.
E-E-L.
Spell ill.
I-L-L.
Well, that's all right, fine. Wait a minute. We'll get an extra 10 minutes on the air tonight. We'll let you spell the two words, all right? Now, let's try it again. This time, we'll try elf, E-L-F, and we'll try flu, F-L-U, all right? E-L-F, elf, and F-L-U, flu. Here we go. Now, wait. Spell elf.
E-L-F-L.
Spell flu.
F-L-U, flu.
E-L-F-L. All right, well, nice. That's pretty hard to do. Thanks for trying, Miss Guy. Here's Miss Margaret Barry. All right. Say, Miss Barry, now back to the pigskin parade for a second. Don R. McVee, the associate editor of the Colgate Maroon of Colgate University, says in the Border Conference, the winner was Arizona. In the Southern Conference, Duke. In the Missouri Valley, Tulsa. In the Ivy League, Pennsylvania. And here on the Pacific Coast... All right, it was what?
Oregon.
Oregon what?
Oregon State.
Oh, yes, Oregon State. The boys at Corvallis wouldn't like it if you leave off that state. That's fine. Say, what bowl do they play on New Year's Day?
The Rose Bowl.
The Rose Bowl is right. And by the way, next week we're going to salute all the bowl games in America. And the old college will be in session next week from Pasadena, the home of the Rose Bowl and the Tournament of Roses. And we hope you'll tune in to the salute for all the bowls.
Desist, Professor. The exam is over and the gals are shaken and their measures taken.
Well, that's all, beauties. While I read the faculty report, collapse. Why, it names the honor girl of the second exam to be the hairdresser contestant number 3, Miss Margaret Barry from Pasadena. Miss Barry is our winner. Yes, sir. Oh, my dear Miss Barry, I drape the mantle of scholastic around your alabaster shoulders. Ah, light up a lucky strike and languish in loveliness until you are called for the final exam. Students, recess is here. And okay, kids, hit the slide and come on, yes, glide. Now, chillin', if you let things go in one ear and out the other, you may be missing a lot of real smoking enjoyment. Is that right, Dean Heaston?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there are some things that are really worth remembering when you step up to the cigarette counter. For instance, in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. That can mean so much to you because, of course, better tobacco makes a cigarette that's milder, better tasting, more enjoyable all around. And smokers, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. The proof is in the reports we bring you from tobacco markets all over the South. For example, at Clarkton, North Carolina this season, the American Tobacco Company paid 33% more than the average market price published by the United States Department of Agriculture. At Live Oak, Florida, we paid 41% more. And at Hayhira, Georgia, 47% more. So it goes at market after market, and the best tobacco we buy goes into Lucky's. Yes, smokers, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Why not make your next package Lucky's and prove this to yourself?
let's sing Elmer's tune.
Dorothy Dunn, get yourself up here, child. Now, Trudy, Jack, and Max, swing right into that background, children. Let's have it.
Why are the stars always winking and blinking above? What makes a fella start thinking of falling in love? It's not the season, the reason is plain as the moon.
It's just Elmer's tune.
What makes a lady, a baby, go out on the loose? Why does the gander meander in search of a goose? What puts the kick in a chick and the magic in June?
It's just Elmer's tune.
Listen,
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 listen.
There's
a lot you're liable to be missing. Sing it, swing it, any old way.
The hurdy-gurdies, the birdies, the cop on the beat, the candy maker, the baker, the man on the street, the city charmer, the farmer, the man in the moon.
I'll sing Elmer's tune.
The candy maker, the baker, the man on the street, the city charmer, the farmer, the man in the moon.
I'll sing Elmer's tune. Sing Elmer's tune.
Hear a shepherd serenade.
Babbitt, you and Trudy, sing and whistle together, children.
I heard a lonely shepherd play. It was a haunting melody. I heard the music clearly say, that he was happy as could be. He played and he played. The world was forgotten. Like castles in air, my every care began to fade. If he would only play forever, this little shepherd serenade.
Final exam.
The final exam.
Time to tie knots in our champion dots, our tone-tested twosome. For now it gets gruesome. And grinning from winning comes that slap-happy chappy, that corn-pone pappy, that Carolina geyser, Kay Kaiser.
Well, thank you, Old Faithful. Oh, come to me, my little ones. Here's where you get your hair curled. It's Mr. George Friedman, the grocer, who is the winner of the first round. You know, Mr. Friedman, most people apply paint in the spring. But shucks, we're going to be different tonight and apply some winter paint. You know, the final round tonight in the old college is going to deal with paint and painters. Now, first, Miss Grace Tropple of Rapid City, South Dakota, wants you to name this song.
Painting the clouds with sunshine.
That's it, boy. That's a toughie, too. Look at that boy step out. Now, Mr. Friedman, let's classify a few kinds of paint. When Indians and various other tribes go on a rampage, what kind of paint do they put on?
War paint.
When actors make up for the stage or screen, what kind of paint do they put on?
Grease paint.
And what's the correct name for the various paints that women plaster on for no good reason at all?
Makeup.
War paint, too. Yeah. That's right. Well, cosmetics or makeup. Yeah. That's exactly right. Nice going, Mr. Friedman. Now, here's Miss Margaret Barry, who won the second round. Miss Barry, included in the following list of famous painters, there are also four well-known musicians. And Private Cecil Fry of Camp Blandin, Florida, wants you to name at least three of the four musicians. Here's a complete list. Paderewski, Leonardo da Vinci, Dali, Mozart, Raphael, Petty, Bruno Walter, Rubinstein, Rembrandt, Donald Duck, and Gainsborough.
Paderewski,
that's fine. Leonardo da Vinci, Dali, Mozart. Raphael, Petty, Bruno Walter, Rubinstein, Rembrandt, Donald Duck, and Gainsborough.
Gainsborough.
No, we painted the blue boy. Remember Gainsborough's blue boy? Fine. Now, what about Raphael or Petty? Oh, boy, Petty. Ooh!
Petty is an artist,
and how, boy? That Petty girl is out of this world. Bruno Walter, Rubinstein are the other two. Now, what paint company's slogan is Covers the Earth? Is it Dutch Boy, Duco, DuPont, Sherwin-Williams, Fuller, Old Colony, New Enamel, or Lady Esther? Which is
Fuller.
Oh, no, that's the brush. Oh, no, that's the paint gun. But that's not the right one. It's Sherwin-Williams. I'm sorry you missed that, Miss Barry. Sherwin-Williams slogan is Covers the Earth. And now, Mr. Friedman, we find that some of the most common paint colors are also the last names of some famous orchestra leaders or movie stars or writers and so forth. And so, as I name a few familiar colors, Marion Curry of Ontario, Canada, would like for you to name at least four personalities with corresponding last names. In other words, four colors, four names. Black, green, blue, brown, white, and gray.
Black, green, blue.
Johnny Green.
Johnny Green, that's fine. Blue, brown, white, gray. Last names. You've got Johnny Green. Now, somebody named Blue. How about somebody named Brown?
Joe DiMaggio. What's this? That's a song he wrote.
Well, you've got the name right there. Last name is Brown. And you said the first name is what?
It isn't Joe Brown?
Certainly, okay. Joey Brown.
Oh, I thought you said orchestra leader.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. Now, the gentleman's confused. Start all over again. Oh, no, it can be orchestra leaders, movie stars, writers, or anyone of prominence whose last name is either black, green, blue, brown, white, or gray. Now, black.
Oh, there's green. Ben Blue.
Ben Blue, Johnny Green.
Johnny Green, Joey Brown.
White and gray.
Alice White. Old-time star.
Yes, and Glenn Gray and Frank Black. And, of course, there are many others, but he just misunderstood the question. That's very good. And now, Miss Margaret Barry, your last question. Now, Miss Barry, named... Oh, she's got her arm around me. Oh, mercy. Oh, Miss Barry, I don't think I can bury this. Say, Miss Barry, see if you can name this song for Russell Taylor of Birmingham. Listen. I'm heading for the last roundup, going to saddle old paint for the last time. Now, in the lyric to that song, to what does the word paint refer?
A horse.
A horse, that's fine.
Say, would you say that goodbye, old paint, is the slogan of the Painters Union?
No.
No, no. But listen, I know you can complete these following well-known expressions for us. I'm going to paint the town...
Red.
Red. She turned with envy.
Green.
Green. Between the devil and the deep...
Blue sea.
Yes. He turned as a ghost.
White.
As a ghost. Boy, was my face...
Red.
Thank you very much, Miss Barry. That's marvelous.
Yes, exams are over.
Exams are over. That's right. Oh, that's right, Tillen. But before we hear the official faculty verdict, sit with me in Convocation Hall while Dean Heaston reads a report by the Founding Fathers.
Smokers, make no mistake. In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. So remember these two important facts, that at market after market, Lucky Strike consistently pays the price to get the milder, better-tasting tobacco. And that with independent experts, with men who know tobacco best, it's Lucky's 2-to-1. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. By the way, have you seen the new Lucky Strike gift chest? 500 Luckies in flat 50s and 20s, packed in a handsome natural grain sycamore chest. It's an ideal Christmas present for anyone you specially want to please. Ask to see it tomorrow at your favorite cigarette counter.
Yes, the honor student of the week is named unanimously to be with a perfect score all the way and therefore entitled to not $35, but $50. It's George Friedman the Grocer. Ah, George. Nice going, George. Oh, yes. Ah, Mr. Friedman the Grocer, here's your money. This is cash and carry. Oh, you are wonderful, my Piggly Wiggly friend. Pad your pockets with this $50 first prize and go forth to the terrors of the bargain basement. Oh, to our second placer goes $20 worth of shopping fun. And each of the other four contestants gets $10 each. And all six receive a carton of Luckies. And finally, and then, to every member of our student body who is here tonight... For those fine yells and that spirit of the season, a package of better than ever Lucky Strike cigarettes! Yes, sir!
Fine and dandy, it's fine and dandy.
Looks like that's about all, children. And school is wrapped securely and mailed early in order to avoid the Christmas rush until next week. And students, from now until Christmas, here's a way we can get together and really do something for our most worthy cause. Now, when you send in your musical questions to the college, Box 909, Los Angeles, California, seal your letter with at least 10 official Christmas seals. And when we answer you, we'll seal our reply with 10 Christmas seals also. In that way, we can both do something for a swell cause. So let's be good sports. How about it, children? I know you all want to help. Ah, thank you. And now, until next week, from Pasadena, the home of the Rose Bowl, this is Kay Kaiser thinking of you. Thanks a lot for being with us, and so long, everybody.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.